Hi there. If you're getting this video, this is addressed to you. I'm making a video addressed specifically to the Austin Saints, and the video is going to be dealing with the fellowship, and more specifically, the fellowship that we don't have on Sundays. That's what I'm going to be here talking to you about today. And I'm going to talk about some of the problems that and I'm going to be talking about what the Word of God says. And I'm also going to be talking about what kind of solutions that we can find to remedy this problem that we have. Let me first say, let me just define a few things because, you know, some of you who are getting this video are probably thinking to yourself right now, I don't live in Austin. What I mean by an Austin Saint, we're going to go through some definitions here so we can understand what we're talking about. What I'm referring to is the Austin metropolitan area. And that goes all the way from up to Gerald, Georgetown, Round Rock, Pflugerville, Austin, out to Dripping Springs, all the way down to Buda, Kyle, and on down to San Marcos. Now you might be asking yourself, well, what's a saint? Well, a saint is somebody who has placed their hope and their trust fully upon what Christ accomplished on the cross. Christ died for your sins. He paid the price for all of your sins. There's not one sin that he has not covered in his own blood. He died for those sins. He was buried, and then he rose again on the third day, and he did this all for your justification. Now, if you believe that, and you've placed your hope and trust in that, then you are saved, and you are a saint now. So, that's the definition of a saint. Now, I'm also going to define some other things that I'll be talking about later on. Paul and the other apostles talk about letters. They sent letters to people. Well, today, the modern version of the letter, of course, we still have letters sent by postal service, but the modern version of that would be an email. So, for all intents and purposes, an email is just a letter that gets to you much faster than an old type of letter sent through the mail. The other definition word that I want to define for us here is the word image. An image is a today is either a picture, like a painting, or like a video. Now, right now, you're watching me. You believe you're watching Kevin Kress. And yes, I am recording this video. But in actuality, you're watching an image of me. You're watching 30 images per second. But it's still an image. It's not actually me. And, you know, that might give you something to think about, too, where it talks in Revelation about how the image was, the image came alive, and, but that's on a separate subject altogether. But I just want to define those terms so we know what we're talking about here. What happened was, and why this video came about was, about a month and a half ago, I've had an opportunity to preach at a church in, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And, great little church. They have an awesome little fellowship, and hopefully I'll get to be a part of that here on a regular basis in the future. But, you know, they were dealing with some issues with fellowship, too. A few of the people had broken away fellowship. And when I was down there in Florida, after I preached and had time to get more into the Bible and read stuff, you know, it came onto my heart about the fellowship here in Austin. Now, when I got back from Florida, I sent everybody an email here in Austin. I said, asking them, what do you think causes people not to fellowship here in Austin? And what do you think the problems are? And, you know, it was an eye opener, you know, and I'm not going to reveal the contents of those emails because, you know, that's not the purpose of this, sermon here, but, you know, there was about four or five glaring issues that kept coming up when people would describe to me what these problems were that kept them from getting together with other people. So, but, you know, there was one lady who responded to me, and, you know, I never really thought about this. But she had told me that, you know, we need to think that when Christ saves us and we become part of the body of Christ, we become family members with one another. We are family by the blood of Christ. And, you know, that kind of, I never really thought of it in that general kind of way. And, but it struck me, and it, you know, it kind of is how I'm going to weave a cord through this whole sermon here, is that we are family. And we need to start thinking about ourselves as family. You know, I have a flesh and blood family, so to speak, and we have a lot of differences. We don't agree on politics. We definitely don't agree on salvation or what the Word of God says. We have a lot of differences, but yet for those times of the year when we have family get-togethers, family reunions, we all come together still. We all give each other a hug. We pat each other in the back, give each other a handshake. We tell each other we love them, and we move on. We don't let those differences pull apart our family. And so I'm going to talk about some of those differences and hopefully share a few things from the Word of God and then offer some solutions at the end of this video. So let's talk about what the problems are. The number one problem that I found speaking to people was Facebook. Now, I know that may come as a surprise to some of you. It doesn't come as a surprise to me. Because I've been a culprit in some of those problems too. So, before I talk about the problems here, you know, I'm guilty of all these things I'm going to list off. And I've done these at one point or another in my own life, and it's caused other people to stumble. So I just want to make sure that when I'm pointing out the problems here, you understand that when I point the finger, there's always three fingers pointing back at me. So first problem that came up was Facebook. And basically what the problems were on Facebook were, one, politics. Conspiracy theories, just basically stuff for the occasion to the flesh. And there's all kinds of bickering going on about politics. There's all kinds of bickering going on about, you know, what may be happening behind the scenes within our own government. And that's causing a lot of people to stumble. They're getting upset with some of the stuff they're seeing on Facebook. And again, I'm guilty of that. You know, I for a couple of years have been posting a lot of political stuff. And, you know, it came to me last spring, you know, I was like being convicted by the Word of God. You know, this does not edify the body of Christ by me posting all this stuff that just gets people inflamed, gets people upset with me. And it definitely helps me to lose my witness to these people. If I ever wanted to share the gospel of Christ with them and they were of a different political persuasion, I definitely could not share the gospel of Christ with them. So, Facebook, as I said, was the number one response from almost everybody who responded to my email about what the problems were. There's a real division on Facebook as far as what we're posting. The boldness that we're saying things on Facebook. I mean, even the things that we say about scripture, we say them in almost a mocking or commandeering way to other people that causes them to be offended. Number two problem, selfishness. Now, what do I mean by selfishness? Well, again, we're talking about coming together for fellowship. I had an individual respond to me through email after I asked the question, what's preventing fellowship? And he told me that there's a certain street in Austin that he's not going to drive by because of gas prices. And, you know, on the face of it, I say, you know, that's fine. I mean, that's understandable. We're not all made of money. You know, it is hard times in America. Gas prices are expensive. But this gentleman drives a $45,000 sports sedan, takes premium gas, and he has no problem posting on Facebook about all these swanky and trendy restaurants that he goes to, which I might add are much past the street that he won't go past to fellowship. Now, that's just clear, unadulterated selfishness. Here's a gentleman saying he's willing to go to bars, go to restaurants, drive his car all around Austin to go to these places, but yet he'll tell me that there's a certain street in Austin that he won't go past for fellowship. Again, I've been guilty of that myself. Some nights, many years ago when there was a fellowship here in Austin on Friday nights, I get home from work. I was exhausted. I had just a few minutes to get changed, get ready to go to the fellowship. And I came home and said, you know what? I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And I don't want to go to fellowship. And I was selfish. That was pure selfishness on my part. And at the time, I thought, yeah, it's no big deal. You know, I'm just one guy. They're not really going to notice if I'm there or not. Well, through the course of asking people these questions about what's causing divisions, I found out that actually, by me not showing up on those nights to fellowship, was actually causing some people to be offended, to be upset, and for us not to share joy together, which I'm going to discuss in a little bit. So, again, I'm guilty of the same thing. I'm guilty of being selfish. So all I can do is ask for your forgiveness. The third problem that came up here, which is causing us to divide here in Austin, is there's been some people, mainly through Facebook, that have said some things that have offended and hurt other people's feelings. And because of that, we have people who are not forgiving one another. And that's about as simple as I can make it. You know, the fourth problem that I found was high-mindedness and puffed up against one another. And mostly, again, this plays out in Facebook and stuff. You know, God's word says knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Well, we have a lot of people on Facebook and emails and everything. They're puffed up with the knowledge of rightly dividing. They're puffed up with the knowledge of the gospel of Christ. And they're puffing themselves up against one another on Facebook and other things. And they're definitely not doing it in a charitable way. So let's see what the Bible says about all this. You know, when I started studying this, the more and more I study, I mean, I can make 5 sermons, probably 4 hours long each, about just fellowshipping. I mean, there is an embarrassment of knowledge and scripture that talks about fellowship. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, how ignorant was I when I went about to go about this fellowship? You know, I had some ideas in my head, but the scripture was just like one thing after another, where it would just talk about fellowshipping. And so we're going to go see what some of the scripture says. Now, I'm going to try to make this video as short as possible, but there's just some things that need to be said that we need to get taken care of through the scripture. So let's start off in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, I want to say one thing. The book of Corinthians could be written to the Austinites, the Austin metropolitan area. Every time I go through this, this describes us to a T. Although, from what I read in Corinthians, we've actually gone past the point. Paul was warning people in Corinthians not to be divided, not to separate. And apparently, through his letters and stuff, he held people together, even through the second book of Corinthians. But here in Austin, we've gone past it. We've divided. We've separated. We are not forgiving one another. We're not coming together. And we've gone past the point of what Paul warned about. We have divided. But notice here in verse 2, he says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now, notice that he didn't say to the scattered fellowships. He's speaking to one group of people here in Corinth. Okay. So, let's look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there be contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am Paul, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Okay, let me bring this up to 2012 for everybody here. For it has been declared to me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. Well, I'm going to declare it to you from the house of Kevin, that there are contentions among you, and I see it all the time. Now, in verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you say, I have him Paul, and I have Apollos. Well, here in Austin, we have people say, I am a Democrat, I am a Libertarian, I have a Republican, I have Alex Jones, I have a trendy hipster culture, I have this, I have that. I mean, all these things are what's dividing us. And is Christ divided? No. Back in verse 10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Really? Okay. How are we doing with that? Are we doing pretty good? Turn chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither are you yet now, are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Again, are we carnal? Are we walking as men? Turn to verse chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 6. And these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against the other. And we are so puffed up against one another right now here in the Austin area. Chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. See, that's the problem right there. We have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up. I mean, think about it. I mean, for those of you who are Republicans, I mean, you have this knowledge that the Democrats don't have, so you're puffed up against them. Or think about the Libertarians. You have this knowledge, and you're puffed up against the Democrats or Republicans. Or the Democrats have some knowledge and they're puffed up against the Republicans. Or those of you who are into conspiracy theories and watch Alex Jones, you're puffed up against other people because they don't have the secret knowledge and they don't know what the conspiracies are. Or even those of you who have rightly divided and you're on Facebook sharing right division, I see quite a bit of you puffed up against one another. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You guys hear that? Charity vaunteth not itself. How many of us are on Facebook or other avenues and we're vaunting ourselves? I see it all the time. And again, I'm guilty of the same thing. I've vaunted myself. I've been puffed up with knowledge. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody without pointing three fingers back at myself. Verse 4. Is not puffed up. Again, what puffs us up? Knowledge. All right. Turn to Philippians. Folks, I'm trying to go through this as fast as I can. I know the clock's ticking here, and people aren't very patient. So I'm going to try to get through this as fast as I can. But like I said, there's scriptures here I got to show you. I have to show you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you may stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given on in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So I wanted you to see in verse 27 that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. How are we doing on that? Are we of one mind? Or are we divided by politics? Or are we divided by Facebook? Only let your conversation, that's your conduct, that's your way of life. That's not just words that come out of your mouth. That's how you act out in public. That's how you act on Facebook. That's how you act in church. I mean, all these things are your conversation. Because communication is, as we know, about 80 or 90% nonverbal. So you're actually conducting communication even when you're not speaking verbally. All right. Turn chapter 2 to Philippians. Verse 1. If there be any, therefore any consolation of Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. I mean, that's awesome. Fellowship of the Spirit. We are all sealed by the Spirit of God once we trusted in Christ. But do we have a fellowship of the Spirit? If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Are we like-minded, or do we care more about politics? Do I care more about being a Republican than I do about being a fellow brother to you? I don't know. You tell me, because I don't see it. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Well, there's a good one. I see lots of people doing stuff through strife and vainglory on Facebook. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I mean, wow. I mean, I could preach a sermon about 5 hours long just on these verses here to talk about what kind of problems that we're having here in Austin. But I got to keep moving on. Verse 14 in chapter 2 of Philippians. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Wow, that's pretty awesome. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Do we hold forth the word of life on Facebook? Do we hold forth the word of life through emails to other people? Do we hold forth the word of life when we go out in public and we see other believers? So in verse 15, we can be blameless among the crooked and perverse nation. I mean, everybody else out there is crooked and perverse. And we need to let our truth of the word of life shine forth unto these people. So, are we doing all things without murmurings and disputings? There's quite a few murmurings going on. All right. So, I talked about some of the divisions that people have told me here locally that's going on. I haven't said specifics, but I mean, you guys can figure it out. I've shown you some scripture that talks about some of the divisions that even the Corinthians were having. This book could have been named the Austinites, the Austin Metro Saints. I mean, this stuff describes exactly where we're at right now in the body of Christ here locally. Let me discuss now, let's change gears, let's discuss why it's good we have a fellowship, because I've discussed all the problems that's keeping us apart. But if I don't explain why it's good we have a fellowship, then there's no point to this message. So turn to Acts 16. Turn to Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 40. This is Paul after he just got out of prison. Verse 40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Let me break down this verse. Well, let me read it how some of you would like to read it. And they went out of prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had written letters to the brethren, they were comforted. Let me read it again. And when they had sent an image to the brethren of Paul's face, they were comforted. No. It says when they had seen the brethren, face to face, seen them. Not an image, not a letter, not a YouTube video like you're watching now. An actual face-to-face encounter. They were comforted. Second, back to 2 Corinthians. Not back, but we're going to go to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians, chapter 7. Second Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we were for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. We have an individual, Titus, who was in Corinth. Titus didn't write them a letter. They didn't write Titus a letter. Titus didn't have some guy draw a character of himself and send a picture to himself. He didn't send them a YouTube video. He didn't send an email to them. He was there in person. And he was refreshed in his spirit by them all. So, as I'm building up here, I'm showing you there's comfort and there's a refreshing going on by being in fellowship face to face. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let me read it again. Wherefore, comfort one another with the image of myself. Wherefore, comfort one another with the YouTube video that I made. Wherefore, comfort one another with the email that I sent you. No, they were together in fellowship with one another, and they were to comfort one another because they were together. They weren't scattered. They weren't separate. They weren't being lazy one Sunday. They weren't being selfish one Friday. They were all together. Okay. Last verse on why it's important to have fellowship. And again, we're going to 2 John. 2 John. When I was doing the study, I was just amazed by how much scripture there talks about being in fellowship face to face with one another. Just amazed. But we don't have time. And I may go through and do more Bible studies on a general basis. This Bible study is strictly for the Austin Saints, but I may do one more generalized for more fellowship studies. But 2 John, verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Wow. That verse is powerful to me. I mean, here is John saying that he's going to not write her, but see her face to face so his joy can be full. Here's John saying that he's going to have full joy by being face to face with a fellow sister. That's awesome. Let's read it again. Having many things to email unto you, I would not email with a computer, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. Again, he can write to her. He can have somebody draw a caricature of himself, draw a painting or whatever, and send her a painting. He doesn't do that. Why? Because his joy would be full by being face to face. Folks, we're missing out. We are missing out on a lot of joy here locally because we're so divided about politics, Facebook, whatever you want to say we're divided about. We're missing the joy here as being fellow believers. And I see no reason for it. The only reason that we have no joy here is because of unforgiveness, people upset with one another, people divided about not the word of God, but they're divided about other things that have really, in the eternal sense of things, have just no importance whatsoever. So we've seen why, the reasons why to have a good fellowship, or to have a fellowship. But what does a good fellowship do? Well, one of the main things it does is you're able to send out workers to do the ministry. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I mean, there's so many things in scripture that talks about having good fellowship and what they're for. It's unbelievable. But Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So here's a fellowship, obviously in Jerusalem. And when they heard some people had received the word of God, they sent to them ministers. Okay. Acts chapter 9. Now, I know that was with the 12 apostles. I know that was with the kingdom of heaven, but the same thing applies to us today, so that's the reason why I'm sharing that with you. Turn to Acts chapter 11. It happens. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go forth as far as Antioch. So again, I'm showing you a church that has heard some things going on, and they're sending forth another minister, a fellow laborer, to help some new believers. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 26. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. Now this is Paul and Barnabas coming back. And it says, whence they had been recommended. So they had been recommended from their fellowship that they should go to a certain place and preach the word of God. So again, this is Paul now. So I'm just showing you this translates into our dispensation of grace as well. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I mean, folks, think about it. What are we here to do? We're here to share the love of God with people. We're here to share the gospel of Christ. So it makes sense then that a fellowship would be geared towards sending ministers out to preach the word of God, to share with new fellowships. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. And I spoke a little bit about this earlier when I started this video. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which, by the way, has been causing some people to stumble, but that's a whole nother video and service altogether. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is what I spoke about earlier, about when we go out to witness to people and we say, we are the ministers of reconciliation. We have the answers for your salvation. And yet, when they ask us, well, where's your church at? We say, well, we just can't reconcile among ourselves. Okay. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, and Christ said, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay. So again, we have the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're to do. We cannot do that if we're divided on Facebook, emails, personal problems. You know, one of the things too that has come up since I sent out this email too is some of the families are getting divided because of their children, you know. One child may have said something mean to another child. Folks, they're children, okay? I was a child once. I said mean things to other kids, okay? Other kids said mean things to me. We need to discipline our children. If our child makes a mistake, we need to make sure that they understand the mistakes they made. We need to make them understand that that's not the right thing to do. Children will be children, okay? Wait till they get to be teenagers. We can't let our families divide because little Johnny and little Sally got mad at each other one day, okay? That's ridiculous. We're the adults. We're the ones running the household. And we can't show little Johnny or little Sally that, oh, we don't fellowship anymore because little Susie over there said something mean and we just don't like that, so we're just not going to see each other anymore. No, that's ridiculous. And that shows nothing of the ministry of reconciliation. And, you know, that should have been one of the things I brought up with the problems, but that wasn't the main problem, but that was talked to me later on when I went to a seminar there in New Braunfels. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we are on the downward stretch here, so don't worry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Wow. That's powerful. Let me read it again how some of you would like it to be read. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Republican Party. I beseech Syntyche and Euodias that they be of the same mind of Alex Jones and the conspiracy theory. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind of the political party, whether it be Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians. Doesn't work. I beseech Syntyche and Euodias that they be of the same mind of the constitutional ideas of our founding fathers. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. No. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Right here, in the Bible. God's word. That's where we're to be of the same mind. We're not to be of the same mind on all this diversions that we see on Facebook, whether it be politics, you know, a trendy lifestyle, all this other garbage out there. We're to be of the same mind in the Lord. I beseech all of you, be of the same mind in the Lord. Not in politics, not in puffed up knowledge, in the Lord. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians, and we are almost finished here. 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right. Chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized in the one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in that one body. Folks, we are one body in Christ. As that friend of mine, she so well put it, we are the family by the blood of Christ. What are we doing here, splitting over things that don't really eternally matter? We are a family, just like any other family, just like my family. I get in disputes, I get in arguments, disagreements, politics, all that stuff. We as family, my flesh and blood family, don't let those things split us from being a family. We still get together for family reunions. We still get together for family get-togethers. We still call one another. We still talk to one another. We don't let those things split us apart. And even more so, the body of Christ, how can we let these things tear us apart? It's ridiculous, and we need to put an end to it. You know, it's God's will that we come together for fellowship. It's God's will that we love one another. It's God's will that we forgive one another. It's God's will that we are charitable to one another. Whose will is it that we be divided? Well, obviously, that's Satan's will. He doesn't want the work of the ministry to be done. So he's going to do everything in his power to split up the ministry. So it's time that we forbear one another. It's time that we forgive one another. If I've hurt you personally in the past, I ask your forgiveness. That's all I can do. That's all I can do for myself is just ask that you forgive me. Now, there's been individuals who have offended me in the past. I forgive you. I'm not laying that to your charge. I've forgotten about it just like Christ or God forgot about our sins through Christ. The solutions to this are we need to have a meeting. We need to have a meeting here of the men. So I'm offering this invitation to you, men. We need to come together, sit down, and have a meeting. And we need to discuss how a fellowship here in Austin is going to be set up. And we need to discuss who it is you all would like to lead that fellowship. And that's going to be up to you. But I'm calling on all the men to step up and take your position as a man to be a leader in your family. You know, I see so much in the fellowship here too. We have men who will allow their children or their wives to lead the family in which ways they go as far as fellowshipping and the Word of God. Men, you need to stand up. You need to stand up and take charge for your duties as a man to lead your family in fellowship and in the truth of the Word of God. As for the men, I'm asking we come together for this meeting. For the women, I'm asking you to forgive one another, and I'm asking that you plan a party, a family reunion. I'm asking that the women come together and plan a family reunion. So once the men decide what we want to do as a fellowship, we can come together and shake hands, hug each other, and have that full joy that we need as a fellowship here in Austin. That's basically what I want to share with the body of Christ here in Austin. I hope I've made some sense. I hope that that it's really been laid upon your heart that we need to start changing some of our ideas about what fellowship is. It's not being on the computer. It's not emailing one another. It's being face to face. It's sharing with each other the ministry of reconciliation, and let that reconciliation start with the body of Christ here in the Austin metropolitan area. And once we reconcile among ourselves, we can go out and start sharing the gospel of Christ so much better and so much more effectively with people here in the Austin area. And we can grow our fellowship and we can have a full joy. So I thank you for listening to me. And if you have any questions or comments, please call me. I would like the men to call me so we can set up a time for this meeting. And obviously the women can take care of the family reunion. So thank you so much. And y'all have just a great day.